Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to episode number 63 of the Scottish History Podcast. My name is Owen Innes and this week we are continuing on with this little UNESCO World Heritage in Scotland series. And this week we're going to be talking about the heart of Neolithic Orkney, once again heading back to the greatest place on earth. So join me for episode number 63 of the Scottish History Podcast. So once again, folks, I just want to apologise for the couple of weeks hiatus. Just work and everything has been really, really getting on top of my timing and everything like that. So I'm back again. So once again, on the Scottish History Podcast, we return to the utterly magnificent Orkney to find our fourth Scottish UNESCO World Heritage Site. Now, we have already covered a couple of the places contained within this UNESCO site, but that will then allow me to focus a little more on the other parts that make up the full heart of Neolithic Orkney. So our fourth UNESCO World Heritage Site is officially the heart of Neolithic Orkney. This contains the Maeshowe Burial Chambered Cairn, Skara Brae, the Standing Stones of Stennes, and finally, the Ring of Brodgar. The first of these sites, then, is Maeshowe Burial Chamber Cairn. I covered this in depth on episode number 42, so I won't dwell on it for too long. But Maeshowe is by far one of my favourite places in the world, so I do recommend that you go back to episode 42 and listen to that to find out more about this amazing chambered cairn. Moving on to Skara Brae then, possibly one of the most visited attractions on Orkney, is another truly stunning place. In fact, everywhere that I'm going to be talking about today is a truly stunning place, each for its own little different things. Now, this is a Neolithic village that dates back to around 3100 BC, which makes it older than both the Great Pyramids of Giza and older than Stonehenge. It was unearthed, or technically I should say unsanded, in 1850 after a deadly storm hit Scotland which killed over 200 people. The winds accompanied that storm uncovered this village in the Bay of Scale, which at that time was known as Skara Brae. This then became the name given to the village unearthed. William Watt of Scale itself began an amateur excavation of the site, which uncovered four houses, but the excavation was abandoned in 1868. In 1913, it was interrupted ever so slightly by a group of thieves that turned up and walked away with countless priceless artefacts, of which I'm not even sure have even been ever returned. Once again, the site was abandoned until another storm swept away part of one of the uncovered houses in 1924, and it was decided then that Scarabrae Village should be properly protected and properly excavated. This job was given to Professor Vere Gordon Child, an Australian archaeologist who at the time was working for the University of Edinburgh. Scarabrae features 8 beautifully preserved Neolithic dwellings, complete with stone beds and even stone dressers. All of the dwellings are connected together by small narrow passageways, and every single dwelling features one large room with a central fireplace, 2 beds and a dresser opposite the doorway. Whilst when the village was originally built, the sea was around 25 to 30 kilometres away, now the village is in danger of being swallowed by the sea. Historical Environment Scotland are, however, committed to building upon the already established sea defences and doing all they can to ensure that Scarabrae will never be lost again. Just the other week, I even heard an article on the radio stating perhaps that they may relocate Scarabrae elsewhere to preserve it. I hope, however, that they do not have to come to this sort of method. Moving on now to the Stones of Stennis, or Stennis as the Orcadian dialect. And the Stones of Stennis is a Neolithic monument which lies not too far away from the Maeshowe burial chamber. In fact, you can actually see Maeshowe from the stones. Many believe that this could be the oldest henge site in the British Isles, once again dating back to 3100 BC, just the same as Scarabrae. Originally, 12 stones stood at Stennis. Now, Stennis itself is Old Norse, meaning stone headland, which to me makes perfect sense, as of course, as I mentioned before, the Orcadians would say Stennis. Stane is Scots for stone, and Ness means headland, so stone headland. I just worked that out. Nowadays, the ditch and bank that would have surrounded the stones is now gone. The stones are each around 30 centimetres or 12 inches in thickness and feature sharp, angled tops. The stones themselves also stand around 5 metres, which is 12 feet in height. When this henge was complete, the 12 stones were set in an ellipse, which was 32 metres or 105 feet in diameter. There was a causeway-style entrance which faces the nearby Barnhouse Neolithic settlement. Didn't I tell you Orkney was amazing? But Barnhouse is not included within the UNESCO World Heritage Site. But again, it is a place well worth checking out. Nearby, another solitary stone stands, which is now just before you cross a bridge towards the Ring of Brodgar. This stone is called the Watchstone. In the 1930s, a stump of a second stone was found next to the Watchstone also. A picture of the Stones of Stennis feature on the cover of the Van Morrison album, The Philosopher's Stone. So, if you're a fan of Van Morrison, you may have seen the stones in picture already. Now, until 1814, a stone called the Odin Stone also stood in a field nearby. This was a stone heavily linked to rituals. The stone had a hole in the middle of it, and couples getting married would join hands through the stone, and you could also make oaths or promises via the Odin Stone, which was known as taking the vow of Odin. However, in December 1814, a Captain Mackay, who had moved to Orkney and had leased the farmland surrounding the stones, got fed up of people visiting the stones. So, he blew up the Odin Stone with dynamite. Now, that could be a tour guide embellishment, but it is something that I've heard. Regardless of how it was done, the Odin Stone was completely destroyed. And this Fairy Lauper, which was the name given by Orcadians to non-Orcadians living on the islands, also destroyed 2 of the Stennis stones as well. After this, Mackay was visited by the police on Christmas Day 1814 and was given a cease and suspension order for his actions. Now, part of the Odin Stone did survive until the 1940s. The hole part, so the part with the hole in it, was used apparently in a mill as the anchor point for the horse-drawn mill shaft. After the mill was upgraded to machine, however, the stone was removed and it lay lying, gathering moss, until the mill owner's son was tidying up and removing the old machinery. When he tried and couldn't move this stone by hand, he instead decided to smash it to pieces with a hammer, an act which didn't go down very well with his father, who reportedly said, "You had no damn business to break that stone. That was the stone of Odin that came from Barnhouse." Lastly, then, we move on to the iconic Ring of Brodgar. Again, you've probably seen pictures of this amazing stone circle before, especially with the, you know, the northern lights behind it and everything like that. Absolutely fascinating place. But this amazing stone circle is the third largest stone circle in the British Isles, and it is the only one of them which is close enough to be referred to as a perfect circle. It was thought to have been constructed between 2500 and 2000 BC, making it likely the last of the Neolithic monuments to have been built on what is known as the Ness of Brodgar. Unfortunately, however, the inner part of the Ring of Brodgar has never been excavated to see what lies beneath, so being able to find out a true date of roughly when this ring was built is unlikely to ever be established. So the stone circle itself is 104 metres or 341 feet in diameter, and it is believed to have originally featured 60 megaliths. Now today, less than half that number stand, with only 27 stones left in situ. A few years ago it was 29, however two of them were struck by lightning and kind of exploded, so therefore leaving only the 27 that still stand. At one point as well, when it was kind of first written about, there was, I think there was 19, and then they started to fall down, and I think at one point there was only 9 stones left standing, until again the sort of historical Scotland came in and they put them back into what is believed to be their original plugs. So the stones that you see mostly were all fallen over, and some of them could even be in the wrong place. But again, don't let that distract you or anything from visiting this amazing place. So anyway, the circle is actually set within a circular ditch, which was dug out of sandstone, and that circular ditch measures 380 metres or 1,250 feet in diameter. To show how important the Ring of Brodgar must have been, within just 2 square miles from the Ring of Brodgar, there features in total 2 circle henges, 4 chambered tombs, more standing stones both in groups and individual standing stones. There were barrows, more cairns and mounds, making this immediate area very concentrated on what is believed to be ritualistic sites. Now, in that last wee bit, I mentioned the Ness of Brodgar, which is the name for the area which the Ring of Brodgar sits on. But it is also the name given to another of the Neolithic villages, which is still to this day being excavated, just a stone's throw away, pardon the pun, from the Ring of Brodgar. Now, the Ness of Brodgar was discovered in 2002, and every summer when the weather is apparently at its best, the protective tarpaulins and used car tyres are removed and the archaeologists move in. So far to date, they have revealed a massive Neolithic complex with buildings. They've found pottery, stone tools, and even bones. In total, they have found 38 structures which have been found since 2003, and more are likely to follow. The nests would also appear to date back even further than Skara Brae to around 3300 BC. Once again, didn't I tell you, Orkney is incredible. Now, once again, like Barnhouse that I mentioned before, which again isn't far away from the Ness of Brodgar, not far away from Stenness and the Ring of Brodgar. Again, these places you can all see from one another. The Ness of Brodgar, the current excavation site, isn't part of the UNESCO World Heritage Site currently, I may add, and it isn't also open to the public unless you pay either to become a volunteer or you pay to become an archaeologist. But the heart of Neolithic Orkney was designated a UNESCO World Heritage Site in 1999, and once again, I implore you to visit whenever you can. So, folks, that is it for another episode of the Scottish History Podcast. Thank you very much for bearing with me. As I mentioned in my sort of little apology upload that I uploaded a few days ago, upload days are going to be a little bit different because my days off are now going to be a lot different. When I get the time to catch up with myself, I will write and record two or three episodes at a time so that I can try and get them back out on the Sundays, because I think the Sunday was kind of the best upload day. So thank you again for bearing with me. Thank you everyone once again, and even more people for messaging, for emailing, you know, just questions and things like that. It has been an amazing response since I started doing this podcast almost a year and a half ago now. Actually, no, we're almost, 1 year and 9 months, really, since I uploaded the first ever episode. So again, the response has been fantastic. Thank you very much to all my new patrons and everything like that. It is utterly, utterly incredible. So if you want to get in touch with myself, you can do so via the email. That's probably the best way of doing it, and that's scotthistorypod@gmail.com. Alternatively, if you go to my website, which is www.scotthistorypod.com, there is a contact me sort of little bit on there. Send me a wee email on there and then I can respond via that way. Alternatively, you can do it via Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the Scottish History Podcast, or even easier, Scott History Pod. And lastly, if you do wish to become a patron of the podcast, which basically just helps for making sure that the podcast stays online and things like that, it is Patreon, so patreon.com/Scott History Pod. You can also do the buy me a coffee thing, which is just a one-off donation if you want to do it that way, which is just buymeacoffee.com/Scott History Pod. Once again though, folks, thank you very much for listening, and I will speak to you again next time for the last of the UNESCO World Heritage Site episodes. So stay tuned for that, and I'll speak to you again next time.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.